Sometimes, when working towards self-sufficiency, we tend to get focused exclusively on food, and it's easy to forget some of the other things that we need to survive. And that's really a big part of this self-reliance skills series. It's been focusing on those other things and how they can fit into our overall outlook of self-sufficiency. Well, chief among the other things we need to survive is water. And because I imagine most of you listeners, like myself, live in a first world country, it's very easy for that to be something that we never even give a second thought to because we have such ready access to almost free, beautiful drinking water. Well, today we're going to be talking about some different ways to obtain your own drinking water when perhaps you're not attached to the national grid that provides it to your house. That might be when you're out camping, it might be if you're looking to plan living off-grid somewhere in the future, or it could just be for fun. I personally chalk it up as another survival skill that I find it incredibly fun to learn and practice with. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com. And I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 117 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. I apologize again about Friday's episode being cancelled. Basically, as you will all know, I've had a accident and I've been going through a little bit of a difficult time with some personal health issues. So that basically led to Friday's episode being cancelled. I was basically in too much pain to record, but I'm on the mend now. I'm certainly out of the woods. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel for the purpose of using two mixed metaphors there. And onwards and upwards, everything's looking good. So I'm not going to give you a big long update on that now, but on Friday I'll probably fill everyone in with where I am, those of you who are interested. But for today's show, we're going to get stuck right into it, and we're going to be talking about basically making our own potable water. Now, the word potable isn't one that we use every day because almost all the water that we come across in our lives is already potable. And potable just means drinkable. It means you can use it for the pot to cook with and drink. And all the water that arrives at our homes, if we live in a first world country, which most of us do, is already potable. We can drink it without any concerns. But very few of us actually have the skills to create our own. And there's a couple of reasons why you might want to consider learning these skills. So the first is, if you're looking to create an off-grid homestead where you're providing everything yourself, all of your electrical needs, all of your power needs, all of your water and everything else, then you're going to want to create your own potable water. And the other reason is, if like me, you have an interest in survival skills and camping and anything like that, if ever you find yourself out in the middle of nowhere without any water, it's certainly a great skill to have. It's one I just find a lot of fun, and it's something that I've played around with. I've taught it on a couple of occasions when I've done little bushcraft classes that I run occasionally, and it's one that's fun to do with my kids. We really enjoy it. So water is, as we all know, it's essential for life. It's right up there with food. You know, it's the only other thing that we absolutely need. We, as an input, we need water and we need calories. Obviously, those calories need to come in the form of a balanced diet and have different components to it. But the water one is really quite simple, and it's going to become more of a necessity than food quicker, because you can only go 3 days without water, whereas you can go 3 weeks without food. So it's definitely right up there insofar as our survival needs. Potable water is basically water that's clear of all the impurities that you wouldn't want to drink. So the main criteria would be that it has a sufficiently low level of salts and microbes, because salts can become harmful if they're eaten in too many or too large a quantity, and microbes can cause illness. So in the UK, the methods used to make potable water for our homes are basically dependent on where you live. So if you can start with fresh water, that's easier than seawater for, or at least insofar as doing it on a commercial scale is involved, because removing the large amounts of sodium chloride salts that are present in seawater takes a lot more energy. And here in the UK, we have a lot of rain. So the rain provides basically enough fresh water to meet the needs of the UK population. Sometimes during the summer months, in some areas of the UK, the reserves can run low enough that we have things like hose pipe bans put in place just to conserve that amount of water. But generally speaking, we have enough rainwater that falls and collects in rivers and lakes and in the underground water course that we can harness that and use it for our homes. So most potable water in the UK is produced from naturally occurring fresh water that's either being passed through filter beds, like even rock beds, which filters out all of the insoluble particles, and is also sterilized by one method or another. And the methods used for sterilization commercially include things like chlorine, ozone, and ultraviolet light. So we're going to talk about all the different ways on a smaller scale that we might choose to make our own drinkable water. Now, the other way that drinkable water is made commercially around the world is by using something called a desalination plant. The desalination plant removes the saline, the salts, from seawater. So, as I mentioned before, this is a slightly more energy intensive method, but it can be done by one of two ways, and that is either by distillation or reverse osmosis. And on a commercial scale, it would be done by reverse osmosis frequently, but that's not something that's really available to us necessarily as the individual. So reverse osmosis is effectively putting the water under high pressure and passing it through a very, very specific membrane, which has tiny little pores in it. And those pores allow the water molecules through, but prevent most of the ions and other molecules from passing through it. Reverse osmosis uses very expensive membranes, and it also produces quite a large amount of wastewater. So the efficiency is considered to be fairly low compared to the other methods. The other methods used on a large scale for saltwater is distillation. Now, distillation, again, requires quite a lot of energy because you've got to boil all that water. Again, you're going to get byproducts. So we'll talk about all the methods that we might use, and that includes distillation, and how you might be able to employ them on a small, medium, or larger scale for your household. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. So we're going to talk briefly now about the different methods that we might use and how they would interchange. And then we're going to talk about how you would apply those methods based on your water source. So how I personally always think about making drinkable water is a two-step process. The first thing I'm trying to do is remove any of the bits and bobs that are in it. So this would be some method of filtration. And then the next thing I'm trying to do is trying to kill anything harmful in there, any bacteria or anything that I don't want to drink. And the easiest way of doing that is probably boiling. So there's lots of different options available to us, but most of the ones that I would recommend for an ad hoc system, something that we're just going to create off the cuff because we need some water right now, are going to be a combination of filtering and boiling. Now, this is if we're looking at using a freshwater source. It's slightly different if we're talking about using seawater, and I will get into that as well, because you might be surprised how easy it is actually to make some drinking water from seawater. it's really important to, if you're going to set up a household system by which you're going to rely on this for your drinking water in the long term, if you're going to set up a completely off-grid system, then it's going to be really important to make sure that you have tested your system if you're going to rely on it long term. So, for instance, if you're going to rely on a well, if you're going to be getting water from a well, then obviously beyond the first steps of building your well, and you've got options there as well, you can wash a well. And if you've never heard of the term washing a well, then I strongly recommend you look it up. Have a look on YouTube. There's some fantastic videos. You can actually make your own well really, really cheaply and easily by washing it. Now, washing a well is a process where you effectively force water from a hose pipe down a plastic pipe, and you twist that pipe back and forth. You cut some teeth on the end and you just push it down, and the pressure from the water going in pushes the debris up the sides, and you can get to quite a depth that way. It's certainly something that's worth looking into, but if you want something more substantial, then you might have to pay someone to build you a well. But once you've got your well water, you're going to want to have it tested. Now, well water is already going to have been filtered, because effectively the water in the watercourse has already been filtered, because it's fallen as rain and it's been filtered through the layers of earth and rock to get to that lower level watercourse from which you're going to be drawing it. Often, well water can just be drinkable straight from the well, but you're going to need to have it tested to be sure. There's all sorts of ways that well water can be contaminated. So again, you're going to want to get it tested on a relatively regular level. There's groundwater runoff that can come from anywhere, such as roads, that can end up in our lower aquifer, if you like, which is the porous level of rock underneath the ground where our well water is going to be coming from. There are septic systems which are below grounds which can leak. There are storage pits that farmers use, and also all sorts of fertilization and things that people put on their fields and on the ground, which can all end up as contaminants that are found in well water. And they're going to depend very much on where you live and what's going on around you. There are natural impurities like calcium and copper, even radon and arsenic. There's impurities from farming like pesticides and herbicides and runoff from animal feeds. And then, of course, you've got leaks from sewers, septic tanks, and even industrial contamination. So you're going to need to have your water checked fairly regularly just to know it's safe. But even if it's not safe, you can still filter it and boil it. So you can make your own filtering system on any scale by using the small filter that I'm going to talk you through shortly, and you can scale that up. So my dream is to have a huge water filter in our garden that I could effectively put almost any amount of water through one day, so that then all I would need is to perhaps have literally buckets of water from the river and just pour them straight in and get filtered water from the bottom. Or I could attach it to a pump and pump from the local river or whatever. And the idea of having that is just to build contingency into our system. So if ever one day I wanted to move to an off-grid system, or if for whatever reason the local water supply became cut off or contaminated, then we still have a source of fresh, safe drinking water. So what I'm trying to say is wells are one way of accessing fresh water, from which point you might find that your well is already safe to drink. But if not, then there are other things you can do to make it so. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com, or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self-Sufficient Hub group and the Self-Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show. Now, when I'm thinking of a water source, a natural water source, that I'm going to want to collect my water from to make potable water, there's really sort of four steps I've got in my head. And top of the list would be rainwater. Rainwater is drinkable as it is. You can capture rainwater, and the tricky thing then is keeping it clean. So if you've got it in a water butt, it's going to become contaminated over time because your water butt isn't going to be a sterile atmosphere. So once you've captured your rainwater, I'm then still going to want to almost certainly provide some kind of filtration and perhaps boiling to it. Again, we're looking at two things. The filtration is going to just take out any nasties, and the boiling is going to kill anything that's, you know, microscopic, that isn't caught by the filtration but could still do you harm. So there's a two-step process there. The next step from rainwater, but of course the other thing to say is if you capture rainwater cleanly, then you can drink it straight away. So just by using some adaption on a bottle with a funnel on top, you can use something like a huge tarpaulin to make a massive funnel and a big bottle, and you're going to capture nice clean drinking water. But again, you've got to think about the route to it getting in that bottle. You know, has it fallen through trees and leaves? Is the tarpaulin perfectly clean? So again, I would treat rainwater, unless I'm very specifically capturing it as drinking water to be used almost immediately, I'm going to treat it the same as I would well water from an unknown well that hasn't been tested. So rainwater, then you've got well water, because well water is effectively rainwater that has been filtered. Then you've got fresh river water, and any type of fresh water really. So river water is better than lake or pond water because it's not stagnant, it's not sat still. So in stagnant waters and even slow moving waters, you can get a buildup of not only sediments, but also some other nasties, all sorts of bacteria, and things can grow in that stagnant water. But fresh water of any kind is something you can take and use the same process for. And then after that, we have seawater. Seawater is the one that is the least convenient, if you like, to take and then make into drinking water. But let's talk about some different ways we can take river water now and make it drinkable. So one of the easiest filters you can make, if you like, is just to use a clear plastic bottle. Now, this option is going to be most useful on a sunny day, but what we're effectively going to do is use solar water decontamination, disinfection. So the UV that naturally occurs in sunlight is actually a great way of treating water. It's a great way of filtering water because what it does is it kills a lot of the contaminants. This is a way you can also dechlorinize water. So if you have chlorinated water in your taps and you want to dechlorinate it, you can simply put it in a clear bottle and leave it in the sun for a couple of hours, and that's going to dechlorinate the water, much like a bought water filter would do. So if you're going to be capturing water from a nice clear river, then usually just a couple of hours of that being in some nice strong sunlight is going to be enough to actually decontaminate it. If you take a 2-liter bottle and put that in some nice strong sunlight, within about 2 hours, that's going to be drinkable. But of course, if your water is a little bit less clear, then it's going to want a lot longer, perhaps up to 2 whole days. The other thing I would say is I would always filter the water as well, but this could be as simple as putting some fabric over the top of the bottle, over the lid, to collect the water so that as it goes in, you're filtering out the larger bits of sediment. And then once you've got your strained water that looks quite clear, leave it in the sun and that should be safe to drink. Now, the next step, and that first step is something you can do. It's not something I personally would recommend because it's just not quite as effective as the other options that we're going to go into next. And the first of them is to boil it. So again, this is going to go hand in hand with filtering. We're going to collect our water by filtering it through some fabric. And it could be anything, just a piece of fabric that you are wearing, or you could carry a handkerchief or some kind of bandana or something that you can use to filter the water when you collect it. And then once you've collected it, you're going to then put it in a pot and boil it. You're going to want to boil it for at least 3 minutes. And then once you've done that, what you're going to have is safe drinking water. Now, there's a few other things to bear in mind. If you're at a high altitude, you're going to want to boil it for a bit longer. The reason being that water boils at a lower temperature the higher up you go. This is due to the reduced atmospheric pressure, which basically allows the water molecules to escape into vapor that little bit easier. There's less pressure holding them in the water, in the liquid water form. So if you're at higher altitude, maybe boil them for 5 minutes, but that is going to kill pretty much anything in there that's harmful to you. And along with the filtration, by using a cloth or some kind of membrane, then you're going to have drinkable water. And again, this would be taking any kind of river water or well water or even pond and lake water, although that would be your last choice if you had the option. You can find Self-Sufficient Hub content elsewhere online in lots of other places. We have a YouTube channel, we also have our website, and now there's our Facebook page and Facebook group. Links to all of these you can find in the show notes. Come check us out. Now, the next thing we're going to do is build a much better filter. So using a charcoal filter is probably the easiest and quickest DIY sort of bushcraft method. And it's the most exciting and fun to do if you've got children or if you're out camping and you want to try something a little bit more interesting, a little bit more exciting. So you'll need a few more ingredients for this than you might for some other things, but they're all ingredients you can get hold of quite readily, I would have thought, and most of us will have them lying around or can make them ourselves. The only thing that you might want that you haven't got is some sand, but we can use any type of clean sand. You might want to rinse it a few times with the water first if you're using builder's sand, which has got some chemicals in. But you're going to want some sand, you're going to want some charcoal, and other than that, you're just going to want your regular plastic bottle and some kind of cloth again. So the first thing you're going to do is cut the bottom of your bottle off. So what we're effectively doing is we're building a nice big filter, a nice big funnel, rather, that we're going to turn into a filter. So if you've cut your bottom off, you turn it upside down, and then you're going to line the bottom with your cloth. Then you're going to place your charcoal through the top that you've cut off, and that's going to sit on top of your cloth. Now, some of that charcoal you're going to want to crush down into a fine dust, and then you're going to want it getting gradually bigger as it goes higher, and then you're going to add some sand on top of that. Now, that's it, really. That's your filter built. Now, I do recommend you go and take a look at some YouTube videos or some other online sources, because there's a bit of a knack to this, and it is simple, it's super simple, but it's something that's easier to see than to hear. Now, I will do a video on this when I'm up and about again, when I'm back to full fitness, and I will share it on our YouTube channel, but there are lots out there. What you need to remember, though, is that this isn't a one-step process. What we're doing now is we're building our filter. We're still going to need to boil the water, because the filter is going to take away all of the impurities that we can see, but there still might be some pathogens in that water that we're going to need to boil off. But this is a great way of dealing with quite dirty water. If you're using stagnant water or water that just doesn't look very clear, you're going to want a decent filter like this will be. Now, the stage we've just discussed, we've got our filter too, it's ready for you to put your water through it. So the sand's going to work to filter out the larger debris, and then the charcoal is going to refine the water even further as it passes through it, removing even smaller particles. And finally, the cloth's purpose is just to hold everything in place and stop it falling out the bottom. Now, you can even install something like this as part of a catchment system, like I was talking about earlier. And you can also add multiple layers of charcoal and sand to add an even better filtering system. So it's really based on what your requirements are at the time and what you have available to you. But once you've passed it through here, you can then boil it and you are good to go. Finally, we're going to talk about distillation. Now, distillation is the process of basically boiling the water into steam and catching the steam. Now, there's several ways of doing this, but we're going to take a really simple one to explain first. Let's imagine that you've got a little gas camping stove, and on that you place a pot of water. You don't need to filter it. You don't need to do anything to it, just a pot of water. And you could have collected this water from pretty much anywhere. Then above that, you're going to place something like a plastic bag or a tarpaulin at a bit of an angle. So it's going to go from above the pot with the water in, and it's going to run downhill into another pot, which is completely empty. Now you boil that water. What's going to happen is the water is going to rise as steam. That steam is going to condense and form on that plastic bag or that tarpaulin or whatever it is you're using. And then it's going to run downhill after it's condensed back to water as little droplets, and it's going to drip down into your other pot. And what you're collecting there is pure, clean water, because the water is going to evaporate at a much lower temperature than any of the impurities within it. So to my mind, that's actually really simple. It just requires a little bit more forethought and a few more items to be able to do it. But you can use that method on seawater and any type of water, because what's going to happen is you're going to boil off the water and any salt and any impurities are going to be left behind. Now, you can even make a solar version of this, and this really is a great one. And you can do this just on a trip to the beach with your kids. It really is simple. All you're going to want is a can of fizzy drink, an empty one, so a soda can, and you're going to want to cut the top off that. And then you're going to want a quite large bottom plastic bottle that you can, again, cut the bottom of that. Now, if you take that plastic bottle and after the bottom's been cut off, fold it up in on itself so that it almost forms like a tunnel that you can then place the soda can within. So effectively what you're going to have is a gutter all around the outside of that plastic bottle. Then you take your soda can, your metal can, and you fill that up with seawater. You put that inside the plastic bottle, and then you just leave it in the sun. And what's going to happen is the sun is going to beat down on that water, and that plastic is going to act like a greenhouse. And the water that's in the can in the middle is going to evaporate up. It's going to condense on the sides of that plastic bottle, and it's going to run down into that gutter. And as soon as that gutter is nearly full, you just take your plastic bottle off and you drink it, just like you would water from the tap. It's a fantastic little idea, a little bit of science, a little bit of fun. And it's a great thing to do with your children, to take seawater and effectively turn it into drinking water. So I hope that you've found that enjoyable. I certainly hope that you give one or two of these ideas a go. I'd love it if you let me know if you did and how you got on. I'm going to just give you the link to a website quickly that gives you a great visual description of that last method. And it is, let me have a look. So it's theartofmanliness.com. And if you type how to use a plastic bottle to make seawater drinkable into your search engine, and Art of Manliness, that should be the first hit. And there's just a really simple 6-step cartoon picture instruction set there that makes it really easy to understand if you're having trouble to visualize what I'm saying. And I think it's something everyone should do with their kids, or on their own, or next time you're out camping on the beach or just at the beach. I think it's a great fun thing to do, and you will certainly feel a great sense of achievement having done it. So I hope you enjoy that, and I will speak to you guys very soon. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.